It's a passion of mine to inspire and encourage others to achieve their God-given greatness. I hope to share a fresh and energetic perspective of life with you, because everybody needs a little Jesus, joy, and Jen in their day. Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Life by Jamar. I have a good friend of mine, Jessica Cameron, on the line. Say hi, Jessica. Let me make sure you're
hello.
There.
Hello. Hi.
Okay. I'm going to make sure it was working. That's why I had you do that. Good. Oh, it's working. Now I can actually really talk about you. Now that she's on the line, guys, I can say things about her. No, she's awesome. I've been so blessed by your posts. And we met actually through a friend of ours, Essie Williams, who I do Swole Sisters podcast with. Yeah. And she did a shout out or something, I think, one time on social media. And you messaged me, or you said something about being funny. And I'm like, I like this person. People who recognize my funniness, I'm like, oh, we're best friends.
Oh, man. You're the best. I love it. How could anyone miss it?
But then I started watching your posts, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this girl's great. You are hilarious, by the way, you naturally. Like, you're – okay, let me explain, you guys.
Thank you.
If it's your first time listening. She is a fitness professional. She's gorgeous and easy on the eyes for sure. She's a mom, and she'll do these posts with The Rock Johnson. Is that the right The Rock Johnson?
Dwayne
The Rock. Yeah.
Yes.
She's got this poster, and she like does random like selfies with him, and it's hilarious. We need to have like, if I ever get big, which is coming. I know I will. I'm going to be like
when you get big.
When I get big, you know, here's the thing. I'll be when I'm in when I'm a household name, when Jamar fits a household name, The Rock will be on like speed dial, and I'll be like, "Hey, let's go visit Jessica. Bring your jet to Texas, whatever, and let's go visit." And would that not be hilarious if I showed up with him? Like the real deal.
I would die. I truly would die. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love this, and I'm going to hold you to this.
I think it's a great idea.
I do too.
I'll have my people contact his people, and
oh my gosh.
And by my people I mean me. and I'm gonna make this happen. No, but seriously, you are an inspiration to so many, and you've been just recently been posting a lot of really great inspirational quotes, and just had some really thought leading what are they called, captions on your posts. And to me, that part of social media is what I enjoy the most.
I appreciate that.
Someone that adds value to my life, and you add value to my life, and you add value to the lives of the people that follow you. And so that's why I wanted to have you on.
Oh my gosh, you just made my life right there. Thank you.
Day's done. What is this thing called? An interview over. We can move on now. No.
Exactly.
But here's a couple of really fun things. Jessica and I didn't tell, we spoke before this, but I didn't tell her I was going to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up anyways. We both were fitness, like former fitness figure competitors.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
How long ago did you do that?
So it's been about 2 years now, which is crazy. It feels like longer, like lifetimes ago. And I did it for a year, and then I stopped, and then I did it again like a year later. And it was an interesting experience. I feel like from things I've heard you say, you had similar experiences with it. Like,
oh yeah,
that what it does to your mindset and your idea of what you should look like, and the shoulds and the,
I think it's insane. And I'm so glad I did it. Let me be clear.
Yes.
I learned so much about myself, but I'm a healthy person that like, I know, cause I was in the industry and I did it, and I did several shows, and you gotta be a little off your rocker to be able to do it in the first place. And then the bad thing about that is you've got a hormone raging, like zero size, zero petite, tiny, no fat, no hormone. Like, it is the worst thing you could do to your body, the most unhealthiest thing you could do to your body. And then you get all this credit for being healthy. And it's like, what in the world is wrong with us?
That is such a good way to put it. That's 100% it. It's like the opposite of health and fitness. It's the opposite of what we're supposed to be emulating, you know, and then that becomes like the standard of health in a weird way is
right.
It's so hard. And I still struggle with that though, to this day, like, oh, I feel fluffy and fat and gross
because it's normal.
and I'm just normal. But when, right. you know, what you get used to when you're in that show and that state is
it's so not extreme. Sustainable.
It's not. Yeah.
Right. And
that was interesting. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think this might be something that, because if you're listening to this, you're thinking, well, I might want to do one of those. Let me tell you, I did mine like 10 years ago. So I'm like so way ahead of you in the game on this thing. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Just messing with you. But no, what happened was like, I think that there's this, and that everybody's story is different. But in my particular story, it was more like I already had genetics for like everybody's genetics are different, and I was an athlete my whole life, and so my genetics were built a little bit differently than your average girl. Like I had like the kind of the makeup of like how do I put it, I was built more like a dude. Like I don't have like the hips and the, you know what I'm saying, I was flat chested and
more athletic building.
And it was just my genetics. It wasn't, I didn't hate myself for it. It's just the way I was built, you know? And so when you take on an extreme diet like that, and you already have the genetics to have a six pack or to have a, like, cause it is a genetic thing. Cause like, if you look at some of them, cause everybody's body's so different. You know, your quads are longer than mine or whatever you want to, it looks differently on each person. Absolutely. And so I happen to have those kind of abs where they just pop, on their own.
Right.
If I get lean, that's what happens. So, you know, being an athlete, there were times where you're lean and then others, depending on the sport that you're in or whatever. And so I was approached by another trainer when I was training at a gym here in Dallas, and they were like, hey, you know, you got the physique for this, you know, we just tweak this, tweak that, do this, do that, and you can be in the, you can do this. And I thought, and I wasn't an athlete anymore. I had two kids and I was, training on the side, and, you know, so I go, oh, that'd be fun. It's a competition. Right. I saw it as a competition, which is great, except for the fact that what do you do when you get the trophy? Well, when you're a competitor, you go, I can do it again. I can do it better. Exactly. And then that's when I quit doing it after my second show. Yeah. It was my second show. It was Europa, which is a pretty big one. Yeah. And I sat there and I was done. I was done with the show and I thought, this is obsessive. This isn't healthy. I don't want to represent this. Like that I'm sitting here binging on M&Ms because I haven't had sugar in my body for months. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, yes.
This show is not about me, but it's turning into me. So let's just keep talking about Jen. Oh my gosh. Like what is going on?
Oh no, but it's interesting. I mean, and it's such a similar experience. So I totally can relate to what you're saying, and I think most people, once they get outside of it, can see it, you know, and it's not, and it doesn't necessarily have to be all consuming that way. It doesn't necessarily have to be negative, but you do, if you're going to do one, you have to know there's going to be a point where it's really not healthy. Like if you're doing it to like for health and fitness, it's not the epitome of health.
No, it's not. You're dehydrated. You're sugar deprived. I mean, and you know, let me tell you, when you're drooling, cutting your kids' apples for lunch and all you want to do is have a bite of that apple, to me, that's not healthy.
I know, like apples are okay. They're good for you.
They're good for you.
Okay. Yeah. I had to get over like thinking that carrots were bad and apples and, you know, the, like fruit things that are good for you. But when you're doing a competition, you have to watch every bite you take and calorie. You can't have those things that are they're good for you. It was tough.
I'll tell you what it did do is it actually helped me be even more health conscious or be able to teach it health in a different perspective than I never would have if I hadn't. It's kind of like whenever I had my first kid.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, excuse me. That was weird. after having my daughter, I had never been overweight. And I was overweight. I was 60 pounds overweight. And my whole life I had been just a, you know,
been lucky, average, athletic and
athletic kid. Yeah. And so I was like, I remember sitting there just crying with this little baby sucking off my tit. And I was like, literally like, what happened to me? But it was good because it taught me so much. I was like, I know I can get back to that because I've been there, but what about the people who've never been there? I can see why they quit. And it was just a way of God ministering to me on how to help people and just changing my mindset, changing my perspective. And that's what we do as trainers, is we get in their head and we help change their perspective on things, you know?
Yes. And that's so important. The mindset shift and the perspective and being able to understand it and have a little bit of empathy and insight on what it really is like, you know, to have to lose weight and to have to change your mindset about food or whatever, you know.
It's, you nailed it, honey. Empathy. Boom. Yeah. You know?
Big piece. Yep.
And you can have that when you've been there. When you haven't, it's harder. Yeah. You can kind of have an understanding, but, you know, it's harder. And so I remember thinking to myself, wow, people who have been overweight their whole life, I can see why they continue to be overweight, because they don't ever think it can happen. Because I doubted it could happen. I doubted it. And I've been there.
And you had been there. You'd experienced it in your life. And yeah, when you haven't experienced it in your life, you do wonder. It's not even in your mindset of who you are, like, that you could have it happen. So it takes a lot of refocusing and perspective shifting to get them to believe, because it's all about belief, right? And
if
you can believe you can do something.
And switching it to nutrition instead of weight loss. Like, I've been on a, you know, on that boat for a while. It's not about aesthetics, because they change. I mean, I'm old now. Like, I mean, I can't change that. That I don't have, you know, like, I can't change that. And so those things fail us all. I mean, that's just part of life. And so it has to be to have the energy. I focus always on, I'm sure you do too, because we get along really well. I focus on the feelings, the energy. How are you feeling? You know, how's your relationships?
That's the whole point of it, right? I mean, really, is you think you want to look a certain way because then you're going to be happy and whatever. But really, if you're healthy and you have energy, that's when you're going to be happy. You have the energy to do the things you want to do, and you feel, you know, able to, like, motivated and productive, you know? Yeah. But when you're starving yourself, you can't. Or
If you're on a diet, screw that. You can't, because you can't even think. Like, and then you feel like crap, and all you're thinking about is food the whole time. It's like,
This isn't living. That's not living, right?
Forget about sex life. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're like, I just want to eat.
I don't care about that. Yeah.
And then that's not healthy, right? It's so funny, but it's true. I mean, come on, think about who's listening to this. It's probably, you know, moms just like us, you know.
Exactly.
Who cannot relate to that? And I just finished reading a book. I'm gonna have the author of that book on my show next week. I'm super excited about. You have to go check my stories out. I just posted about it.
Okay.
You know, don't. I'm in her book. That's why.
That's awesome. Who is it?
Literally, it's like literally just my name. Just like, boom, like, you know, so it's not even that big of a deal. But it's a big deal for me. I'm celebrity status. Now, it's called From Ordinary to Extraordinary, Straight Talk from a Personal Trainer. And it's really very good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really very good. Simple read. She gives the most amazing tips. And she comes from a nutritional perspective, not a weight loss perspective. It's very, very, very good. Like, gut health. And she covers all the things that people know, but they don't know how to apply.
Yes.
And
that's
a
big disconnect. Yeah.
It's huge. And so when I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is life-changing for some people. And it's not a big time read. It's like a small book, you know, it's easy to digest, if I can read it, trust me, you know,
it's doable.
It's not too sciencey, you know? And so, I'm going to have her on the show. I'm excited about that, because, it's life-changing, the kind of stuff she has in that book. And I was really impressed. And so that's definitely a God thing to have her. Cause she reached out to me and said, hey, I just want you to know, I just published a book and you're in it. And I'm like, oh, I love you.
Oh, that's so huge. That's a big honor. That's awesome.
It's a huge honor, except I'm only kidding when I'm saying that I'm celebrity status, but,
it
worked out that, I'm glad she reached out to me. I'll tell you that. And I'm going to do everything I can to promote her book, because it is really that good. And then she even has worksheets in the back to help you implement the stuff, which is so important.
Oh, that is perfect.
Yeah.
That is so
you're going to love it.
Right.
You're
going to
love it.
I read so many books, and then a lot of times I don't apply it. So it's nice to have something that's going to help you really put it into practice in your life. That's
You'll
huge.
Really relate to it if you get it. I got it on Amazon. It was like $10.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways,
I'll have to get it. Yeah.
But okay, so awesome. more about me. Okay, so Jessica, listen, you've been going through some stuff lately, and you've been, I want you to just, you know, be real with us and just tell us where you're at. What's going on?
Whew. Well, I mean, I've been struggling. Do you really want me to go there? No.
Yeah.
I have really been struggling with my motivation and mm-hmm. my energy and motivation. I mean, in general, like definitely with my workouts, which yeah. typically for me is not a problem. Like that is my joy. I love it. It's my stress relief. I know it's weird, but that's
no,
I've been lucky that I love that. And, lately I have no joy doing that. I just feel pretty lethargic, pretty
going through a funk.
In a rut. Yeah. In a total funk. And to be honest, like my whole life, I've kind of struggled with depression and probably mm-hmm. what led me to be, I got my degree in psychology and my master's in social work. So, you know, I've always mm-hmm. been interested in that field and understanding the mind and everything. But anyway, so I'm just in my rut right now. And
how are you getting through it? That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. So
that's what's important.
Yeah. And I think it's been really helpful for me. And also, I don't want to say, I guess it's been an experience and an mm-hmm. opportunity for me to learn and remember how yeah. hard it can be for people to be in a rut. And especially like with fitness, but also just life in general. And so I have kind of done like the 4 M's in a way. Like I've tried to focus on movement and for me trying to find like new moves that I can do every day, because that for me is the joy in exercise, is finding creative ways to move your body and just that creative process I really enjoy. So I try to move, but I encourage people in general, just movement is so beneficial mentally and physically. So get your butt out there, do something, you know, even if it's 5 minutes, even if it's 1 minute, something a little bit to get your heart going and get your body moving is amazing.
Well, I think we get caught up, especially even as trainers. And that's why I'm so glad you're sharing this with us, is people think that we just, you know, we're just motivated every day. Right. We just get up and we hop out of bed and I'm ready to do my lunches and let's go run some stairs. Yeah, we do think that way, sort of. We are a little nutsy.
Yeah, sometimes, sure.
Sometimes, but we go through funks too. And I love that you're sharing that with us, because you know what? Movement is not lunges and squats and, you know, it's moving. It's, you know, Essie and I have actually been talking about this a lot on our podcast that we do together. Just going for a walk and being and just moving and being out in nature is more, will actually do more for you than struggling through another workout that you're just not feeling. Yeah. You're not going to get anything out of it. 'Cause what are we doing it for? You're doing it for clarity of thought. You're doing it for energy. You're doing it to feel good. And if you're not feeling good, what the heck?
What is the point? Amen. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's too much push to go hard, you know, and I think I said this in one of my posts, but it, you know, it's not always about going hard. Sure. It's great. Sometimes there's a time and a place kind of for everything. Yes. And I think it's listening to your body and being okay with that on the days when I'm just going to take a walk today and I'm going to recognize I need rest and I need prayer time or meditation time or, you know,
you need to be filled up.
Yeah. So, and it is, it's about, and then having the energy, like you're doing exercise and it's depleting you. Well, then that's defeating the purpose. So I totally agree with that. Taking a walk or doing something, or even just like, you know, I try to incorporate a little bit more movement in my day, like park one parking space further away or take the steps or, you know, the typical things that you hear about, but those add up. So if you can't get to working out, you're moving, and that stuff is really important. The daily movement in your day. So
how else are you doing?
So my other M's. So it's movement, meditation, mindfulness, and mantra. So
keep going.
Yeah. So like meditation for me is includes prayer, and it's not necessarily like sitting in a, you know, on a pillow on the floor with my legs crossed and
humming, but it's quiet time.
Quiet time and like trying to be present in my moments and present in my breath, and then pray, or, you know, and I include that with like prayer, because I'm praying pretty much all day long, like in my car. It doesn't have to just be at church or when you're reading the Bible or like going to bed, but like all day long.
People think I'm crazy. I talk to God out loud, like he's sitting in the chair next to me.
I mean, I love it. Well, he kind of is, right? I mean, he's everywhere. So.
Like, yeah, man. I'm all like, yeah. Or I'll go, all right, Holy Spirit, where are my keys? You know how I am. Come on, help me out here. Like, I literally talk like that because I really do believe that that the Holy Spirit's our helper, and we should be, and we should honor that, and we should, you know, interact with that. I mean, it's what the Bible says.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And yeah, we're not alone, you know, and having those prayers reminds you of that you have a helper with you at all times. And then the meditation
takes the stress off.
It does. Yeah. And the meditation just helps you kind of like clear your mind. Sometimes I'm in my car, I don't close my eyes, but I'm just focusing on my breath and feeling.
Please don't do that. Yeah. Driving down the road, Jessica, that's not a good idea.
Great advice I'm handing out today. So that's like, I just sit in my car sometimes as I'm driving and like focus on my breath going in my body all the way down and then coming up and like feeling my seat or my body in my seat and just like coming back instead of my mind swirling about, I need to do this, I need to do that, I'm not a good mom, oh, I yelled at them, oh, I didn't pack a healthiest lunch.
Oh, you mean beat yourself up?
Yeah.
Nobody can relate to that.
Oh, God, I'm like the queen of the beat down, the self beat down.
Yeah, but you would never talk to your, kids that way.
Oh, never.
You would never. And so the fact that you're recognizing it means you can change it, though. So this is good. Keep going.
Exactly. So that is kind of leads into my next one. Nice segue there. Mindfulness. So again, kind of awareness, but I guess catching yourself, you know, catching those thoughts and catching when you're not in the moment, when you're stressing about 800 other things, instead of just enjoy your kids, the laughter or them cuddling next to you, or, you know, enjoy your food when you're eating it, like be mindful instead of
put your phone away.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh geez. That's a whole nother podcast.
I've talked about that a ton. I mean, especially when especially when you run your business online, it's very difficult, but you do have to be mindful to do it. I agree.
You have to be mindful to take time to be present in your moment. And that just brings such peace and such, then you're open to and aware to what's around you. And that's where life is. That's where it happens, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they say, I can't remember who it was. I read so many books and podcasts, but
I love that.
He said, I know it's great, but then my mind's always buzzing and I can't remember who said it, but he said the moment that you realize that you're not present, you are present. So it's like you brought yourself back even in that moment. So don't beat yourself up if your mind's wandering. Just catch it and realize it and then get back into that space. So
that's really good.
That was always helpful for me. And then my fourth M was mantra. So I need reminders. Like I need nonstop, like this is how I want to be thinking, you know? And so for me, it's helpful to have like a mantra or a scripture or a saying or a motivational quote in my head so I can go back to it when my day's crazy and I'm starting to feel out of control or starting to beat myself up. And then I can think, okay, wait, freeze. This is how I want to think. This is how I want to feel.
Right.
And it just brings you back. So it's kind of like a centering mantra or scripture or.
Yeah. Or what God thinks of you. Because I mean, like if you were sitting here and talking about your kids right now, you're going to say all sorts of amazing things. Right. And so sometimes it's okay to write down all the amazing things that about yourself and to recognize them because that's what God thinks of you.
Yes.
And that's huge. Cause if you know that, then you can help so many more people. If you're constantly beating yourself up and you're constantly, you know, self-deprecating yourself, you can't be a help. You can't be a help to anyone else.
Exactly.
Oh, I hear a puppy.
Yeah, my puppy's playing with my cat and my cat is not having it.
Okay, what kind of dog? Now we got to know.
Yeah, Cavapoo. King what? Charles Cavalier.
Oh. Or,
I'm saying it. I always say it
wrong. I know what you're talking
Cavalier
about.
King Charles, the spaniel.
Yes.
And then a poodle mix. So it's like a...
Well, that's little, interesting.
Yeah, he's really cute. He looks like a cockapoo. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a cocker spaniel poodle mix. So he's just, he's the other.
He's the elite cocker.
Exactly. I've got the hybrid cocker.
You've got the $1 million cocker. Yeah, this could go so wrong, Jessica, with you and me. Royalty. We're going to stop at that. We're the royal cocker. Oh, wow. Okay. And moving on. So we're very mindful of our mantra right now because, you know, we don't want to be offensive.
Exactly. I love it.
It was my fault. We can move on from here. Now, see, there's your sense of humor. It's just natural. And I love that. And you're a mom and you have athletes in your house. So let's talk about that too. So how are you managing that? Because you have twin boys. Like, what were you thinking? Like,
I don't know.
Oh, you don't get to choose that. My bad.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking. I mean, oh gosh. I'm surprised God let this happen in my life. I guess it'd be like, I don't know. It's been hard. Thankfully, my daughter is older, so she can help, or she did help when they were little. And now she's at college, and now it's just me with the boys, and it's busy. It's very, yeah. And you know, because you deal with your kiddos or athletes and
yeah, I only have one, elite. Though. I don't have two boys. I have one. And thank God. Because I don't know. I mean, if I had two oh, my goodness. My son, y'all, is like a huge redhead, big old boy, 6'2", football player. And, I mean, if I had two of those, there'd be all sorts of drama.
And your son's so successful, too. And, like, it's yeah, busy. It is so busy. And boys are so different than girls. But
you got the hockey thing going. That's like really, really cool and expensive. So like,
yeah, expensive and so much travel and
so fun though. Please enjoy it. I did all that with my daughter. We got to travel and when you're in the midst of it, sometimes it's stressful and you're trying to figure this out and get to that plane and do that. And sometimes you can get caught up in all of the ins and outs of everything. And then the drama of the team and all that.
Right.
But Alex and I look back at some of the things that we got to do, and we're like, oh, that was so cool. I'm so glad we got to do this. We got to do that, you know? So just enjoy as best you can, especially since they're your last ones, you know?
I know. Yeah, that's such good advice. And I do try. And I do try to, like, be in my moments with them and not stress, like, I'm out of town, I can't eat right, or I'm not getting the best workout, or I'm, you know, my house is a disaster. You know, I try to just enjoy the moment when I'm there with them. And be mindful and
practice the stuff you're doing.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. And I'm trying to teach them that too, you know, like, especially the mantra stuff, to have, you know, to believe in themselves and the prayer and the meditating and, you know, trying to help, hopefully teach them these things so they're not such a train wreck like I have been in my life so much.
They're watching. They're always watching. And you're doing a good job. If you're mindful of it, the fact that you're even talking about it tells me that you're on top of it, you know?
Well, that's nice. I think a way to think about it, or just that I'm a complete train wreck and no.
Well, let me be clear. I have to apologize a lot because I mess up a lot, but then you move on, you know?
Right. And they learn from that too. I think that you are human but if you can apologize and move on and learn from it.
Absolutely. That's okay,
because their lives are going to be full of mistakes too.
Sorry, son. I did not mean to slam your head into that wall. Forgive me, but you aren't listening. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, y'all.
Teaching an important lesson here.
I tell you what, the best advice I ever got from a friend of mine who had a son who was extremely tall. Uh-huh. And when my son started outgrowing me, he was in middle school. He was, I think he was in sixth grade. No, he was in fifth grade when he outgrew me. And I think he was sixth grade when he outgrew his dad. So like height wise, you know, neck and neck. Maybe it was seventh grade. No, it was eighth grade. My bad. With his dad, it was eighth grade. So anyways, it was close to then. Anyway, and so I remember talking to her because she was friends with my daughter's age group, and her son was. And she said, the best advice I can give you, because I said, my son's going to be a big boy. And she's like, yes, he is. And this one, he was like in sixth grade. And so she said, the best advice I can give you is when you discipline him, because you're going to have to, because he's a boy. I mean, come on, you know.
Right.
She goes,
right.
Make him sit down. Don't ever look up to him when you're disciplining him. And I thought that is such great advice. You can pass that on.
Yeah, hopefully I'll need that. Hopefully my boys will grow. They're pretty short right now. But yes, that is good advice.
Got friends and moms. And you know, you're going to have being in that industry, you know, you're going to run across parents like that. And so you can pass that on to them. Because it really does make a difference.
I could see that. That's good advice. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's the other thing on my list of how to get out of your rut is just connections like this. Like, having
absolutely.
Friends and family, like reaching out, like, and so like, I'm just thinking how, you know, being able to connect with you and get that advice is so helpful. And then
when I saw your posts, I connected, I called you. I said, hey, we got to get together. Let's talk.
Yeah. And I'm so honored. And I was so excited. That was such a great thing. And
when you're going through stuff like that, that's how you help people.
Yeah, it really is. And reaching out and taking that, you never know. I mean, that was one of my other posts, was just the small things, like do the small thing, even if it seems like it's small and insignificant, because you never know what it means to someone. And like, this was huge, just being, you know, talking with you and then being given this opportunity to be on your podcast. Share. Like,
yeah,
to share. And then it helps you, like, you talk about what you do to help yourself, and then that solidifies it and helps you do it. And then hopefully it helps other people. And
that's the whole point.
Yeah. Hopefully it just spreads, like the little ripples spread, and there's a ripple effect that then helps a lot of people, you know?
Absolutely. And not to mention, I mean, I know you've got followers that follow you that can't wait to hear your heart, because there's a difference between posting something and relating to somebody and, like, you know, appreciating them for maybe a you know, like, the certain workouts that you do. And so you know, they'll follow you because of that, but then they also like maybe some of the goofy humor that you put in there or whatever, but for them to hear your heart on something, to me, that's very valuable too. So, you know,
and that's a hard thing though. I think it's really hard to share. I mean, I struggle with that and feel like, oh, who wants to hear my story or who cares? You know,
everybody wants to hear about me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, duh. Of course.
Duh.
No, thank you. I mean, and it's so, but I always think that, like, people like you who share, and it is, I love it. I like that. So I think, why not share? I learned something from everyone who shares with me, everyone.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for people to share and, like, be able to be open and tell how they feel. Or
there's a reason why you fear that. Let me tell you why. You fear it because it's something that's a gift. And the devil doesn't want you to be sharing, because he doesn't want you to help people. He wants you to live in that conundrum of just, you know, beating yourself up, because then you're not effective. Yeah. And so the fact that you were able to overcome the fear and come on today, cause I know it was something that was a big step for you. I know, cause I had to talk you into it.
You did.
And I was like, you got this, girl. Come on now.
You were so good. That's your gift. You're such a motivator.
Well, I think it just stems from just like, the mouth doesn't turn off. Sometimes it can get me in trouble. I say things, I'm like, ooh, that's an, oh. That, I thought that was going to sound funnier than it did. Dang it. But the fact that you took that leap of faith and did that and stepped outside of that, and what the value that you've added to this conversation with the ways that you are managing your non-motivation, and you're a trainer. Like, how many people are you going to be able to help? But they're going to, okay, let's go through the M's again so I can write them down, because I'm going to put them in the show notes. What's the first M?
Okay. So the first M is movement.
Okay.
And the second one is meditation,
okay,
or prayer. But I was trying to be catchy with my end, so, you know. Then mindfulness.
Okay, I like it.
And then mantra.
And mantra. And so when are you going to write your book?
That's funny you say that, because that is kind of one of my – I've always thought that I would like to do that.
So do it.
Yeah, I don't know. You're challenging me, man. You're making me step out of my zone.
Dude, I'm trying to write a book too. So trust me, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's awesome.
What's yours going to be about?
No idea.
I like that though. I love that. I mean, you're just stepping out and trusting. And I know you're praying. And
oh yeah, definitely. It's only going to happen through that.
Yeah.
I can't do it on my own accord. If it was up to me, it would never happen. It's definitely God's got to intervene, because I literally do have pages of stuff everywhere. And I kind of have an idea of what it's going to be about. There's nothing out there to really help parents of athletes, to help their kids manage the stress that an athlete goes through. And not every parent has been an athlete. And so one thing I've learned, and I know you have too, and this is good that we're talking about it. When you train athletes, and then whenever you train athletes, you also deal with coaches, and then you deal with parents.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You get to see a different perspective. You get to see how the coach interacts, you get to see how the parents interact, and you get to see how, you know, and then you get to have a voice in it too. And so I thought, there's nothing out there that helps people see the perspective of an athlete, and how the things that you say to your kids can really make or break them, and how saving them from certain things can be a bad thing, but how do you know where that is? And so it's kind of a difficult book for me to write, because, you know, I'm not real sure how to make it all work, but God's got that. He's going to take care of that part.
Absolutely. The right people. Yeah. It's all going to come together. And you'll,
like, when's the right time to step in? Yeah. That kind of thing.
Priceless, though. That kind of book I would scoop up and read like 80 times because it is so hard. It is such a challenge. And you're right. If you haven't been an athlete,
if you don't know what that feeling is like, sitting with the pressure. And the, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then to also, Jen.
And I mean, mainly because I screwed up. There were so many times I did the bad thing. And so, so if I can write about it, and yes, I can teach other parents, don't do this because it does not work. And trust me, because, you know, there was a lot of apologizing that I've had to do over the years. Let me be clear on that, you know, because you're a parent, when a parent is coaching their kid from the sidelines, sort of, you know, like they don't understand the things that they're saying could be contrary to what a coach is trying to get done or what the team is trying to do. And then on the same time, the kid's trying to process it all and they're trying to execute a play. And there's so much going that sometimes I think when a parent is telling a kid constantly what they're doing wrong, like I did, you think you're doing it because you want to help them.
Right.
But are you really helping them? No, think about it. You're just really just telling them everything they already know, and then you're reinforcing it, and then they're still doing it, and then everyone's getting frustrated, and then it all blows up. And I've watched that happen with other, you know, other parents who weren't athletes. They didn't understand like the dynamic of what goes on between athletes on a court or on a field, and so their perspective is from a bench, from a seat, right?
Yeah,
and so they don't always maybe have the correct approach their heart's in the right place. They want to help their kid, but they just don't know how.
Oh, 100%. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that.
And even sometimes when you know how, you don't know how with your kid or a particular situation or a particular coach or, I mean, it is such a complex thing to deal with and you want to do it right so badly and you want your kid to learn things along the way. And
I think it's worse now because we're putting so much pressure on kids at like 6 and 7 years old and they're in these select sports and they're like their future is planned. I mean, like they're going to be an all-star, you know, 100%. And they're 10.
Yeah.
And so talk about like, and the thousands and no, not thousands, excuse me, the billions of dollars that are poured into these sports programs is insane, which, you know, because, you know, hockey is one of them, you know, that, and you've got trainers and then you've got all these things that these parents are doing for these kids that you and I, we, you know, picked up a basketball and a coach said, hey, you got some talent, let's go play, you know, like,
and you go to practice and you don't do every other thing on top of it.
Right.
Yeah.
That, you know, you got year round softball and year round baseball. And it's like, okay. I mean, that was the hardest thing of being a coach or training athletes is talking to parents and telling the parents, we need to back off because they want to push. And it's like, we need to back off. They need off time right now.
Right.
And a lot of times it was not received well.
Right.
And I had one in particular where I fired myself from the situation because I said, this is not something I want to be a part of anymore because it's not healthy. Yeah. And it was hard to do that. Because there was a lot of ability and talent there with this one kid, but the way they were, the kid was done and the parents weren't ready for him to be done and moving on to something else. And so it's unfortunate, you know.
It is, but yeah, hopefully you, with this book, you can help parents
so
they don't get to that point in kids. And oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Exciting.
Yeah. But yours is going to be about the 4 M's, I guess. So
when you're
done,
I do have one more. I have one more M. I forgot.
What is it?
Many thanks. So I really meant to say gratitude.
Gratefulness.
Yes. That doesn't flow either. So
It's not an M. Many thanks.
Yeah. Many thanks. But so this one is also huge. And this was, I don't know if I talked about my post, but I have been trying to wake up every day. I mean, I always kind of did it, but not like perfectly religiously. So now every day I write in my journal what I'm grateful for. And so I, even on days where I hate myself, I hate my life, I'm exhausted, everything pretty
Your
much
hormones
sucks.
Are jacked.
Yeah, my hormones are jacked. I'm tired, but I'm like, I know that I have much to be thankful for. And I'm going to focus on that and get my day started that way.
Absolutely.
Cause here's another great quote that I can't remember who said it,
it's
but,
okay.
they said, what you think about and think about, you will bring about. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you know, it's, we've heard these types of things, but that one just stuck in my head because of how it flowed, basically, and because Absolutely. It gets everything in there, because it is all about your thoughts and it is all about your focus. So being grateful and
yeah.
So, you know, that's a big one.
Even if it's just thankful for breathing some days.
Right?
Lord, exactly. Thank you for the breath of life in my lungs. Okay, let's move on because this is going to be a good one. You know?
Yeah.
I get it. Yes. No, totally. So, okay, yeah. I got five M's. Now I got to change my notes. Okay, five instead of four. Okay. No, but I love that you made the gratitude mini. That's so cute. I love it. That took a lot of thought. I would have never thought of that. I would have been like, how am I going to make gratitude an M?
I know. And it's so important. Like, and it had to flow in there. It had to be in there. So yeah, that was
exciting. Yeah. Well, so. I mean, I appreciate you coming on and talking to us about motivation and how to get over those humps and what works for you. And I, you know, I hope that you come back on again because you have so much value and you do have a gift in this area. And it's something that I just want to, I want to help you understand your greatness and know that it's a gift that God gave you, and to rely on that, because let me tell you, perfection is impossible, and it's going to keep, yeah. it'll keep you, like you put in the post today, I think it was today's post, or it might've been yesterday's. I don't know. I'm a little all over the place. Perfection keeps you in, it keeps you, what's the word? It's not crippling, but it's...
Yeah, it keeps you stagnant somewhat.
Paralyzed, that's the word.
Paralyzed,
it keeps you paralyzed, and that's exactly what the devil wants to do, Jessica. He doesn't want you to share. He doesn't want you to share your gifts. And so don't worry about being perfect and just continue to do what you're doing and put that realness out there, because it's awesome and it's life-changing, and I'm excited to see where it takes you. This book's going to be good, girl. You're ready.
Wow. Well, your book's going to be amazing. And I am so grateful. This will be on my many thanks list. Tomorrow is my time with Jamar.
Yeah. Podcast. Well, it's not over. We're going to be interacting plenty. I have your number now.
Yay.
That's a good and a bad thing.
I got to come down for a workout and some dance moves. Like,
yes, you have to come to Texas.
I need those sick dance moves. I need some.
Your boys, we talked about this briefly. Are they going to ever like compete in Texas?
Sometimes they're at their, like the travel team level, they do have games like in Dallas, I think. So
that's right where I live. So
down there knocking at your door.
Absolutely. No, you better let me know like when you find out, because we have to make plans. We will have so much fun. And I mean, even our friend Essie, she might even come in town for that.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I would love it.
I know, it's great. Awesome. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you on social media or emails? Share with me that stuff.
Oh yeah. So my Instagram is Jessica Rower, Rower Cameron. Really catchy. I need to
I'll put it
that,
in the show notes. No worries.
I'm really behind on that. I need some like marketing people to help me. And then my email is jcore@fitness at AOL.com.
You're Jay Core and I'm Jay Mar. No way. Okay. So that's your new name. Can you not, have you seen if that's an Instagram name?
I haven't. I'm so dumb.
Do it now. Go. Once you get on the phone with me, go and do that. See if it's, that'd be so cool. We could be like twins.
I know. Oh my gosh. Why didn't I think, I didn't even notice that.
I bet you can make it work.
I can put like a period in there or something and make, if J Core's already taken, I'll figure that out.
And then shoot me a message if you change it, because then I'll, put it in the stories and shout out and say, look, same person, just change the name, whatever, you know, like how Doug did.
Yeah. Does it work that easily? I didn't know that. It makes me nervous.
Everyone that follows you will just start seeing that name instead of Jessica.
Oh, I totally. Because
you can even do Jess Core or whatever. I mean, like you can make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because and Doug was the one that did it. He changed his from Doug into Fitness to Intercore.
Intercore. Oh yeah.
And even if I look up Doug, because I tried it to see how it worked.
Yeah.
It still brings up Intercore. Intercore doesn't, you know. It doesn't.
It just automatically takes you there. Okay. Oh yay!
Okay. I know. So cool.
You're just changing my life.
Hey, listen, because that other thing, Jessica, whatever. Yeah, we need to change that.
It's my maiden name and my, I think some, like my daughter or my mom set up my Instagram account. I mean, that's how, like,
no, I get it. Know. I totally get it. I'm way ahead of the game only by accident with the Jamar thing. It really literally is an accident how that happened. So, it's just stuck. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to put your information in the show notes. And if y'all need to get in touch with Jessica, if anything ministered to you that she had to say today, you can always reach out to her and DM her. We love getting DMs from people, even if it's just, you know, hey, I love your workout. I mean, that means the world to me because we put a lot of time and energy into those things. And we do want to, you know, benefit and help people. And so we appreciate those messages that we get. And then that's going to be it for now. Jessica, you're going to have to send me your kid's schedule and we'll hook up when you come to Texas.
Yay.
I can't wait to have you back on. Have an awesome day. Have a productive day. And, I'll be seeing you on Instagram.
Thank you so much. All right.
Okay.
To be bye. Here. Thanks. Bye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.